Heavenly Father, we can bring all these people to Thy throne of grace. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst undertake for them many different details, people that we've asked for prayer and on their behalf. Thou treat them, Lord, as Thou would have them to be treated, answer in the way Thou wouldst have them be answered, partial, complete, whatever may be. We ask that Thou wouldst undertake for them those needs that they have, and we intercede for them on their behalf, based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants them to have Thy will perfect in their own selves, whether it be the wills being healed or straightened out, answered in prayer, or whether it means to be strengthened and abide whatever trial is there. So take care of them and use them. Take the child that's here with us, and his daughter as well. And we look forward to the day we're going to sign any meetings as well. On this July coming up, right there in Northfield, New Jersey. God is direct, so I was open with Thy word. In 1 Corinthians, in Jesus' name, we ask.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's take our book of 1 Corinthians, or chapter 14, and we got down to verse 21, last Thursday. So if you could open up, and we'll be reading verses 21, 22, and 23. Those who are listening to us on the internet, please give us a call at 856-361-9018. So if you give a comment or question, we'd like to hear from you. Or email us at questions at bfabc.org. Okay. Let's see what we have here. This low cast. Ms. Weber, go ahead. Good, wonderful. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Bye.
Yeah, Ms. Weber is listening to us.
Hi, Mrs. Weber.
She's like, let's wave to her. Wave to Ms. Weber. Cass,
are you okay, Cass? Getting better?
Okay. All right. We're in chapter 14. Let's read verses 21, 22, and 23 together.
Romans?
1 Corinthians. 14, 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. The prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church can come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are not learned and not believers, will they not say ye are mad? Alright, verse number 20. What does it say tongues are mentioned? How are they mentioned in the Old Testament? Deuteronomy. Chapter 28 and verse 49. Now, when were the tongues in the Old Testament? Was the Old Testament completed when Deuteronomy was written? Was the Old Testament complete?
No.
No, it wasn't. So God had to reveal to the Old Testament Jews His plan, so He had these languages that He had given special revelation. And so, in the law was written, I will speak to this people. What was the reaction to the people in the Old Testament, this worship. And what was their reaction? Where God spoke to them out of His law. Yeah, that's that.
Sometimes they rejected it, and sometimes they accepted it.
That's right. And yet for all that, He said in this 21, they will not hear me, saith the Lord.
Deuteronomy 28.
Yeah, Deuteronomy, according to this quote here, Deuteronomy 28:49. Maybe you want to read this quote. 28:49.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
That's it. So God had to give them understanding, or to understand these foreign languages coming into the land. All right, then in verse number 22, What if they say that these languages, four languages, tongues are four? What is the purpose? What do they call the intent?
A sign.
For a sign, yeah, John? Paul, you have
something?
What? Chapter 14 and verse number 22. So what are they for, if I said?
I'm wondering, this previous verse of this has reference to perhaps to captivity.
Could be.
If you're going to be brought into the kid, you're going to be brought into captivity. And
into a foreign language where they couldn't understand, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
I'm not sure if that's
possible,
the
sure.
correct interpretation of this passage in Deuteronomy or not. But
it seems like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the references in the margin of one of the Bible, but that could be. And then, in the tongues were, what are tongues again? How would you define it? I had that in there.
Known foreign languages.
And I said, okay.
Yep, known languages.
And what is the purpose? What are they called, these names? What do they call this language? In verse 22, what do they call tongues? Yeah.
The first sign.
The first sign of, what is the significance of a sign? What would that be? How do you define a sign?
It's a witness.
All right. It's a special thing.
It's identifying the work of God.
Special thing, sign from God, special thing, touch that.
Especially for those that do not believe.
All right, for those that do not believe, that's the significance of it. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. That's clear, verse 22. Mr. Barber. Mr. Barber. Hello, Barbara. What's your God? Barbara
Musk. Hi, Pastor Wayne. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Is a mark or indication or token with an appeal to the understanding of man's understanding is true. And a sign is for those who believe not.
Alright.
So the tongues would have been to them a sign like it was at Pentecost where the disciples spoke in a foreign language so that people could understand the gospel.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Barbara. Appreciate this. Way the Bible of Master right here from Jersey.
Barbara.
New Jersey, all right. Good. Any others are coming? Hey, Sir Barbara, someday give us a report on your car. See how much you've gathered together to repair that and how much might it be for a little repair, but not a full repair. Okay, so the sign has a very good definition that she gave us of the sign. So that's in verse number 22. Those who believe not. In other words, when something happens very astounding to people, that's a sign that the Lord's in this. Now, when did all these signs and all these sign gifts begin, and when did they cease, according to our Bible? When did they begin, when did they cease? All these nine different sign gifts. Okay?
It began at Pentecost.
Pentecost, and when does it end?
At the close of the canon of Scripture.
At the close, when the Bible is completed, all these things are closed. 1 Corinthians 13 is very, very clear on that, isn't it? We discussed that earlier. And does everybody agree with us on that? Well, they don't. The Pentecostals, charismatics, they just have these things, they go on and on and on. And we'll see a little bit later on that you're not supposed to have any tongues or language unless it's an interpreter. A lot of times these people don't care about that. They just go ahead and talk. Nobody else understands, no interpreter, or nothing. But anyway, be that as it may, 22, not for them that believe. And they believe that. But what about prophesying? How would you define prophesying in verse 22? Yes,
especially for those who believe.
Yes.
What would be involved in prophesying? Yes. Okay.
Special message from God.
All right. Special message from God.
Well, it was that proclamation of God's word.
God's word came before the Bible was completed. They didn't know God was
right.
But special revelation, special things. But if people now say that more things are being added because of tongues and languages, what is violation? What does God say if anybody adds to His word? Revelation 22. So, people go on and on and they don't realize what the scriptures say about that. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261. 9018, give us a call or comment, let me hear from you. And then in verse 22, then believe, we have these prophesying, that time when they didn't know the word of God, here these people were given the gift of prophecy, speaking God's word, what's going to happen, it's just amazing. Special, miraculous revelation. No more, and no, it's finished, and all revelation's complete, Bible's complete, stop all the trouble. But 21, 22, 23, now let's read 24, 25, and 26 together. Therefore, the whole church.
Did we do 23?
No, we didn't do 23.
Oh, I see.
We didn't do 23 yet.
We didn't read it.
Yeah, we read it.
We didn't read it. Okay. What is the whole church is coming together? What's going to happen next? Any hands on that? What's going to happen when the whole church comes together?
It's a hypothetical.
All right. It's an answer. All right. So if, then what happens?
It seems as though it's not just that they're speaking in tongues.
It's
that there's no interpreter.
All right. What says all speak with tongues? Is that consistent with what's talked about later?
It's supposed to be one at a time.
One, most for three.
Interpreter.
Yeah. See, if you babble, it's terrible. Just a terrible babble.
Right. Just a bunch of people speaking all kinds of gibberish, and no interpretation. It's very unbiblical.
Exactly.
And when they have multiple ones, it's unbiblical, because you can't have scripture says no more than two or three at a time.
That's right.
And must be interpreted.
That's right.
And it is not some unknown angelic language of some belief.
Right.
They are known languages. That's what it was in the Old Testament passage that we looked at. These were known languages, languages of those people around them.
Right. So that's important to catch that.
If unbelievers or unlearned are hearing or present, we're going to think everyone's mad. Everyone's crazy.
Yes, that's right. In the verse 43. Unlearned, unbelieving, those come in. Will they not say you're mad?
That's the result of the Toronto blessing and all these things. That's what the unbelievers think. These people are mad. Which, frankly, the believers kind of wonder too.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
I remember I used to buy every Friday as a student at the University of Michigan. To hear Dr. N. Marty Hahn's radio Bible class in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And one time we went there, but they closed down for some reason. So I said, well, I'm here, I'm going to go to another church. What are these Pentecostal churches? I got out of there fast. There's no interpreter or nothing. It's just a dim, terrible noise. I would think they would be mad. That's exactly what I would think about that. So the whole church.
Then they claim that, you know, what they're saying is of God, and if they do have an interpreter, usually what they say is they just quote a piece of scripture, like it's new revelation or something, and it's not, because there is no new revelation.
Right.
The Lord may, to one of us, reveal something that's already true in His Word, but revealed to our minds that we never have understanding, but there is no new revelation that comes. It's complete.
Right.
His word.
980, nothing after that.
David Clout had recorded a two DVD set where he talks about the Pentecostal church and the charismatic movement. And he transcribed words that were said in tongues, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And he made pronouncements of those words. And also, there were newspapers at the Azusa Street Revival back in, I think it was 1911. They printed what some people were saying in tongues at that time in that church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pure gibberish.
Pure gibberish.
It doesn't follow any form of language at all.
Mm-hmm. And another place I heard years ago, 10, 15, 20, 30, however many years, people were attending one of these Pentecostal groups or the charismatic groups, and as they're taking their tongues, this particular person knew that particular language he was using. It was all smut and filth and dirty garbage. Satanic to the point.
No, I was going to mention that. And sometimes they've even done, they find out that it's actually a satanic chant that they're saying.
Is that right?
Yes.
So we don't know the details, but we want to stick with the word, and we don't have any new revelation. And that's what these things think they are, these nine special revelations. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or contact number. Just say hello. So that's verse 23. And 23 was it?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then we read 24. We haven't started. 24, 25, and 26, please. But if all of prophecy,
they come in one and believe not, and one of learning, is confessed of all, is as of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report God is in you of the truth.
How is it then, brethren,
when you come together, every one of you hath a song, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying.
All right, verse 24. What about this all prophesying? Should that ever be taking place according to our Bible? All prophesying all at once? As it has on it.
Everything must be done decently and in order as God's word.
And the sorcery, and so, but it's all prophecy.
Well, this is the same contrast to all of them speaking in tongues. So, the whole idea is that if it's prophecy, then the unlearned will understand and they can get saved.
Mm-hmm. Not all at once, that's the thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, question then?
Well, you need the person to be edified, he can be convicted of his need of salvation if everyone is prophesying versus if everyone is speaking in tongues or known four languages.
Yeah, that's what you meant.
He's comparing it as far as I have an old room of people speaking in tongues versus a whole room of people that are in the room that are prophesying. Mm-hmm. Prophesying is what's in it, so it's going to direct them in the right direction.
And that's good. And I'm just worried about the all. Prophecy, at a time when they didn't identify, well, that was much higher than any type of tongues at all. Then verse 25, what is manifested by apparently prophesying?
Well, we have all at the beginning of the, well, near the beginning of the verse, of verse 24, and also at the end of verse 24. So there's two alls.
Mm-hmm.
Of all prophesied, and he's judged by all.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then in verse 25, what are the secrets of his heart? What do you think that refers back to?
A secret. Dr. Lee.
Go ahead, Paul.
It said in 25 here, thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is to you. That God is to you.
The
Word of God is going to be a convicting force in his life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to convince him of his need of salvation, his need to go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. So when God gives a special sign gift before the Bible is completed, these New Testament days, that gift, that prophecy, that word of God from heaven will convict these people, and he believes that God is in you of the truth. That's right. Fallen station, he will be converted. That's what it's the purpose is.
Right.
So that's a good purpose. Did we read 26 here? Did we read
26? Yeah, we read
26. Well, maybe not the secrets of his heart, and we talked a little bit about that. What about the secrets of heart? Does any person living know what the secrets of other people's hearts are?
No.
Does God know what the secrets of our hearts
are? Oh, yeah.
Yes. He says, really, before we speak, what we're going to say, in our brain. Well,
so what he's talking about in there, where it says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, the unlearned, or one that doesn't believe, that it talks about in verse 24 there, here's the prophecy we know. No, it's the Word of God. The true Word of God, not some other thing. It'll be made clear to that person the sin that's in their life.
Yes.
You know, they'll then understand that these actions that I've had throughout my life are wrong and things I'm doing now are wrong. They'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. That's good. By the Word of God. With the prophetic Word of God that's revealed to them, and they will report, what will the report be once this takes place in the verse 25? Yeah?
They'll recognize that God is in you.
That's right.
They'll see the witness.
That's right. Now, the truth, they recognize the present. Now, did we read 26?
Yes, read 26.
We did 12. Okay. Now, who's he addressing now? What question is he asking now in a phone in verse 26? Who's he addressing here this week?
Brethren.
The church there at Corinth.
Okay. and the brethren, yes, the believers, the inner
Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ.
And when they all come together, what might each one have and contribute? What sort of things they might bring up in this church meeting? Question that?
Song.
All right. What else? What else might they bring up in this church meeting?
The doctrine.
Doctrine? Okay. What else might they bring up? Which is up to that time.
At that time, they could bring up tongues.
It'd
be a known language.
Next thing, what could
they bring up?
A revelation.
Revelation. At that time, special revelation. What else could they bring up?
An interpretation.
So all these same gifts and so on. But what is the main thing that always must prevail at the end of this?
Edification.
Edification. What does edification mean?
Building up.
Okay, that's a great big building. Building up in the things of the Lord. So that's 26. We didn't read 27 then?
No.
Okay, see, 27, 28, and 29.
If any man speak, let him come. Let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret it. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge.
By course of three? Okay. So, in 27, what is true, how many should speak in an unknown tongue at that time the God has revealed to them?
At most three.
Two or three. That's a very important thing. Federal things we have, Tim.
And it's interesting, and that by course, so they still had to take turns.
Right.
I mean, it's like the courses of the Old Testament, where the musicians or the priests, they had certain times when they went to serve. So they were only supposed to speak for a certain period of time that was assigned to them ahead of time.
And one at a time, by course, in other words,
right.
One, this is like
that.
And what's the most important thing at the end of this? That's speaking in another tongue. What's the most important thing? The last part of the first lesson.
There must be an interpreter.
Interpreter.
See, so many in these, we'll call modern churches today that believe in tongues for today, they will maybe have two, three, four, five people, and they're just talking over each other in tongues. And that's absolutely wrong.
Absolutely.
Must be done decently and in order.
Yes.
As this verse here tells us, that by course. So
of course.
In proper order. One at a time.
Order.
And then it must be an interpreter.
Decently in order. Yeah, that's an answer. That's something.
And this is from Fallon's Walls. She was wondering what the church in the first century looked like in the days of the Apostle Paul when there wasn't a completely canon of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. All right, anybody want to raise your hand and comment on that? What did the church look like before the early century, before there was a complete canon of the Bible? Not Ma?
In the beginning, they met in homes.
That's right.
I think she raised up the function of the church. Have the church function without the completed canon.
It had part
of the scripture, but not the completed scripture.
Correct. Yeah, hi, brother Rob. What you got? Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
Hi, Ben. You're still stuck back on, what verse. I'm still stuck back on verse 20.
Okay, go right ahead.
This is just, and when he quotes verse 21 out of Deuteronomy, and then we read that one verse, but that's one of the strongest rebukes of Israel, of Israel, in the whole Bible.
Uh-huh.
If you read through verses 8 through 12, I mean, it's one of the strongest
rebukes
in the whole Bible. And Paul's referring to that. And people today, they defend,
they don't
believe in this is a rebuke
of
tongues. It just amazes me.
Right.
Can I bring a couple of verses before
sure,
that?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, he's speaking to the priests who have erred through wine and strong drink.
Is that good? Is that
Isaiah?
Isaiah 28.
I think we've been reading what the church was like in those days. Mm-hmm. And not only these verses, but the verses that Rob was referring to also in the Old Testament times, we're seeing what the church was like.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's there. God isn't leaving anything for us to imagine. He's telling us straight out what it was like. And it continues today.
Right. The churches are small. The church in their homes,
right,
mostly. Church in the house, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. They were church in the house, church in the house. And they didn't have a lot of money. They just met. They preached. And the Pharisees and others didn't want to preach. They had to do it quietly. They had to go somewhere where they wouldn't be persecuted. Many were put in prison because of that. And the early church also was, lots of closing out of the churches. And Madeline, of course, a genuine Christian believer. She had John and then the 10th.
And then in terms of, the question might be in there, but what did they use for Scripture? Clearly they used the Old Testament Scriptures, but they also used the teachings that Jesus left them.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not, the canon might not have been completed with what they did have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And maybe at that point, all of it was written down. That happened later. Mm-hmm. But they had the teachings of the apostles
mm-hmm.
Still to go on. And they were still learning.
Yes.
And they were still given that revelation.
Right.
So that was coming in conjunction with Old Testament Scriptures as Jesus expounded to them earlier,
mm-hmm.
where he was in every book in the Old Testament, all the Old Testament Scriptures, where he is, they were carrying out what and teaching others.
That's right, yeah, that's right. Upon that, if there's anything else we left out and more on your question, please give us another call, 856-261-9018, for questions at vntbc.org.
Dan was telling us something when we got the phone call.
Okay, what are you telling us about
that? It's fine, we'll recover everything.
Okay. All right, so.
I had a question.
Oh, yeah, Dan.
As far as when the churches, when the Apostle Paul was going on his 3 missionary journeys,
mm-hmm.
he started these churches,
mm-hmm.
and he was the person that started them, but he didn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how long it was before he appointed, Timothy was pastor, Titus was pastor,
right.
But how long before the churches actually had pastors? At what point? I mean, he spells out the gifts of pastor,
right,
teacher, but when did they actually, did he appoint them? Or did, I don't know. These are just some interesting thoughts that kind of correlate with what she was asking.
And the other question is, how long before these churches went sour? I remember someone in the last Inverness Sign meeting that talked about it. It was Dr. Don Boyce. He quoted the early church fathers, 100, 150 AD, heretics.
Well,
people from, it didn't take long before they were going to stop. Yes.
Well, we see just in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, these are books of admonishment to those local churches.
Yeah, exactly.
So they were already starting to go out there, going off to, you know, the wrong way. And, you know, they have heretical doctrines that crept in already.
Yes.
Almost virtually from the very beginning.
Exactly. So it's just sad. And so we have all that today. Churches that start one way just drift very quickly, very quickly. So that was 27, what verse is it?
That was,
we
didn't get to 20. We might still be on 26.
26. So the brethren, turn together. If God has given the gift of a psalm, well, we had the psalm built in, but a doctrine, see, you can't bring it to the if God's given a doctrine, that's fine, before the Bible was completed. And in tongue or interpretation, revelation, see, that's all before the Bible was complete. This was part of God's plan to inform the Christians. They've been loving it, that's good.
I'm sorry, we were on 27.
That's right. Yeah, Rob, go ahead, Rob.
I'm down here. I just went down to Brenda Hawkins. He said, was talking about the Hebrew and Testament. And the New Testament was being recognized at that time because Peter and 2 Peter 3:16 said that Paul's epistles as scripture.
Yes.
And
yes.
2 Peter was written within about 5 years after this book of 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. So the heads of
scripture. I want you to get one verse from that. The final verse that I said of coming in there when after the Lord doing this rebuke, he said in 28:13, that the word of the Lord was sent to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and then a little.
Good to see you, Rob. Thank you very much. Now, Jacob Bromer called while we're talking to Rob. So, Jacob, give us another call. We'll hear it for you, and we'll talk to you about it. Jacob Bromer, go ahead and call us, Jacob.
Jacob Bromer.
Jacob Bromer.
That was
yeah, Jacob, right ahead. Go ahead, Jacob. Hello, Jacob.
Yes, this is Dale.
Oh, Dale. Oh, Dale.
Yes. I just wanted to call and say hello, and it's wonderful to see John there tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, very good. Well, Dale, we'll certainly keep praying for you also with your health. Let's wave to Dale and
to
Dale and Rachel Bromer in Texas. Texas, thank you very much. God bless.
Okay, bye.
Okay. We're in verse, is it 28?
28, yes.
28. If there's no interpreter, what's going to happen? What should happen if there's no interpreter? Even then, certainly not.
And the person should keep silent. They should not be speaking at all. If they're going to speak in tongues, there's no interpreter. Should keep quiet.
Keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. Excuse me,
Dr. Wade.
Yes, Miss Paul. Miss Smith, Paul. Miss Smith, Paul. Yes, David, go right ahead. Rebecca. Right?
My name is David.
There you go.
South Carolina.
Yes, right ahead, David.
Yes, sir. Hey, I was reading over in Acts. Y'all talking about what would they use it for scripture, whatever, what would the church look like. And there said, I think somebody there said it, that they were using Old Testament scripture. I think it was John there.
Yep.
And it was there in Philippians, in Acts, rather. Philip and the Ethiopian, was reading out of Isaiah,
yes.
The prophet, and Philip had to interpret it for him.
Right. Very good.
So,
yes, wave to David and Rebecca Howell there in South Carolina. Oh, appreciate that very much.
Well, he's referring to the same thing I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
I'm sorry, did I speak over you?
Go ahead.
What they're all mentioning, same thing I mentioned, maybe I didn't explain it enough. Because, you know, they, in conjunction with the Old Testament scriptures, with Jesus Christ, they were showing everybody how Christ was a fulfillment of everything that was in those scriptures. Mm-hmm. How every feast, festival, right. All the law pointed to Christ, and how he is a fulfillment of all the prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he is the Messiah. And expanding upon that so we could understand fully God's plan.
And that's what the Lord Jesus told the people in the road to Emmaus. All the things concerning himself from the
yes.
scriptures. Very important. He just taught them. Very good. So that's 28. Keep silence. Speak for himself and to God if there's no interpreter. If we read the word 29. Now, what about the prophets? How would you define the prophets when the Bible was not that complete? When it was a gift of prophecy in the New Testament until 980. What would a prophet be?
Prophecy,
Dr. Wayne. Yes, Paul, Paul, Wayne, am I?
It said in 29, so let the prophets speak two or three.
All right.
Let the others judge.
That's right. And what was the prophet defined in this time before the Bible was complete? How would you define a prophet?
He was proclaiming God's word.
Okay.
Wasn't necessarily just like we think of today, future events. You know, it may have been in that, but it was proclaiming God's word. And they were to judge, all the others to judge to make sure that what he was saying conformed with all the rest of Scripture that they already had.
That's it.
Prophecy of foretelling. And as John is describing prophecy of foretelling.
Mm-hmm.
Foretelling, I mean, you could go on to foretelling thing as far as prophetic events, think of the minor prophets, the major prophets, into the continued prophecy. And as John has mentioned earlier, we have just the Old Testament primarily, how it proclaims who the Messiah actually is, and Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And all these things are written in the Old Testament. They may be somewhat concealed in the Old Testament, but yet the apostles and others could draw that out to them until this canon was completed, and they were relying on the Old Testament scriptures, which was completed at the time.
And who gave these prophets to the New Testament before the Bible was completed the words that they were speaking?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. It was from God. Revelation, because it had not been revealed, special revelation at that time. So the prophets, and as you speak, how often, or how many at a time?
No more than two or three, just like with the tongues. It must be in order.
And that's it. Two or three, the other let them go. Well, I think we'll stop right here, but if you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight, any other thoughts on these verses? Let's not just close the word for dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's writing to Corinthians. We know that people today should listen to these verses. The Pentecostals, the Charismatics, any others mislead their congregations and are misled themselves as far as when these scientists stop. 1 Corinthians 13 is so clear to us, Lord. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for telling us about these things and we can discuss them so people can have clarity and not adding to the words of God and not adding the plagues that is promised to those that may. Help keep us faithful to God to give to us, Lord, and help us to keep that word and defend our words in all these things. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray.
Amen.
Thank you.